All right. One thing right ahead. I'm not as funny as the previous speaker. I'm German. I'm sorry. We don't do jokes. All right. Woo, maybe. All right. So my name is Moritz Niendorf, actually. I'm a graduate student at the University of Michigan in the Department of Aerospace Engineering. And today I'll be talking a little bit about what I spend a fair amount of my time over the last 2 years on. But first, let me ask you a question. Who in this room actually got stuck in a traffic jam while trying to run errands? Yeah, I know I have, and it's super annoying. And what happens is, at home, you try to figure out the best way how to organize your day, how to run your errands. Then something unforeseen happens, things change, and what you thought would be a really good idea actually goes terribly wrong, and you're doing just the wrong thing. And that is what I kind of look at. So let's see. I use math to look at problems like these. So for example, one of them is this, where you try to travel from like several locations to other locations, and you try to find the best way of doing so. So to minimize time, maybe, that you're spending. Production planning problems, where, for example, you try to use your farmland that you have as efficiently as possible. Packing problems. Happens every time you go on vacation. You try to stuff as many things as possible into your suitcase. Or, so I'm in aerospace engineering, runway scheduling, where you have an airport and a runway, and you try to get as many planes to use that runway as possible. And all these problems actually have one thing in common. They're optimization problems. And by optimization, I mean that we're trying to minimize something. So for example, here, we're trying to minimize the travel time by finding the best tour, or just in general, we're trying to do something as good as possible, as efficiently as possible. And then the types of problems I look at have two very specific properties. One is that the solutions that we expect are integer numbers. And by solution, I really mean, for example, in our travel example here, a tour or an order in which to do those things. And by integer numbers, I mean that, for example, in this travel example, at the first step, you can either go to one location first or the other, but you can never go to half one and half the other within one step. And second, there's a cost associated to that type of solution. So let's say in our travel example, for example, we're trying to minimize time. So the cost that we're trying to minimize is the time we spend traveling. And the cost the whole tour or this whole trip takes is the sum of all the times that you spend using all those roads. And for the rest of this talk, because I like traveling so much, we're gonna focus on this itinerary travel example. So my title was something like go to the post office before doing groceries. So that's the type of problem we'll be looking at. So now here we have our example. So let's say you have a really, really busy day ahead of you. You're at home, you wanna visit your friends, Michael and Maria, drop something off at the post office, get a new parking permit at the city hall, and do your groceries. So then usually, based on some experience or on some intuition, you'll pick the order in which you want to do those tasks. But then, notice here, we actually have two constructions going on our roads. And we don't really know if they're going to cause us delay or not. So we have to live with that assumption. And we just do what we think is the best thing we can do. But let me point out one thing first. Why are problems like these actually interesting to researchers? Because this kind of seems trivial, right? And I'll tell you, so if we were not to visit our friends Michael and Maria, so we only had four locations to visit, there's actually a total of 24 different options in which you could order all those locations. And you could probably write them all down on a piece of paper, see which one is the best, and just do that. If you have six, like in our example here, there's already 720 options to just order them. So writing them down will take time, but you can actually probably still do it figure out what the best thing is, and then just do it. However, imagine you were like a delivery truck driver, and you were to visit 60 customers in a day, and in the morning you try to figure out how to visit them. If you have 60 customers, it's not 10 times the number of options you have for the six city example or six location example, but actually the number of options you have to order 60 locations has 82 digits. To write all those down is going to take longer than the age of the universe. So you just can't do it. And that is why these problems are hard. All right. So, so now, if you have actually figured out what you were doing, and let's say you use your GPS to go from one location to the other, your GPS will probably tell you if there's a traffic jam, how to avoid that traffic jam, how to use other roads to do that. But then what your GPS doesn't do, your GPS probably doesn't do in which order to actually visit all those locations. At least my GPS doesn't do that. And then even more, wouldn't it be really handy if when there's a traffic jam and you know there's going to be a delay, that GPS would actually tell you if there's now a better order in which to visit those locations? Well, the good news is we can actually do that. The bad news is I already told you that ordering these cities or locations is actually kind of hard. So if you do that on your smartphone, for example, it might take up a lot of computation time, and it might really drain your battery. And that's the one thing you don't want with smartphones, right? Because I know my phone is empty, like dead, pretty much whenever I need it. So the question then really is there a way for us to know if there's traffic information about a traffic jam and some delay, whether what we're doing currently is best, or if there's even possibly a better solution? Or just in general, is there a way for us to actually write down all possible traffic situations for which a given tour, a given order, a given trip is the best? And that is what I kind of look into in my research. So what I really do is I'm trying to find something that is called stability region of a solution. So I'll tell you a secret right now. In this example here, the best you can do is you travel along the roads that are on the outside, and then associated to that best tour is something that I call a stability region. And the stability region of a solution or a tour is really all the travel time changes or all the delays that can happen on all possible roads for which this tour, this solution is the best. And you can kind of think of that as an island. So give yourself a sea of travel time changes. So it's like an ocean with all possible travel time changes you can just think of. And then my job is a little bit like the one of the early map makers or explorers. I try to find the frontiers or borders within that ocean where there's an island that I call the island of optimality. And that is the stability region. So for each tour or solution, there is an island of optimality for which we know, as long as we're on that island, the tour that we have is actually the best we can do. So, and once we've found those islands, there's actually interesting questions we can ask about them. For example, how many are there? Or is there something we can say about the shape of those islands? Or even more in general, if you have different types of solutions or different solutions, let's say another problem, another solution, do those properties that I just mentioned about the island hold for that problem too? Well, I'm going to answer those a little bit later. So now, how do we actually find those islands? Well, unfortunately, it's known in the research community that that is kind of hard. So we use a bag of tricks from math to actually do so. And remember, we had this constraint that all our solution had to be integer solutions, so that there's either one city at first or the other, but never half one half the other. So what we can actually do is we can get rid of that constraint and reformulate the problem such that we actually allow that. And doing then that stability analysis, finding those stability regions, becomes a lot easier when doing so. So really the key achievement here is the way we've reformulated the problem such that finding the stability regions or islands of optimality becomes much easier. So let's see, what does this actually look like? Again, we have our example here where the tour or the trip on the outside of the roads is the best you can do. Associated to that tour is our island of optimality with all possible travel times for which this tour is real, is the best. And what does this actually look like in reality? It looks something like this. This is the stability region of that yellow tour on the outside there for travel time changes. On this axis between city 1 and 2, so right here where we have the traffic jam, and what this really means here is a 1. So this means an increase in travel time by one time unit on this road. And on this axis is the travel time change between location 1 and 3. And here I have positive changes going up here and negative changes. So what that means is you actually travel faster on that road than you originally thought. And one of the, coming back to my GPS example, I said that there was that problem that recomputing those solutions is actually hard and might drain your battery. Well, once you found that stability region, you're actually good, because now all you need to do is you need to see the delays that you have based on those constructions, based on those traffic jams. As long as they're within that island, this tour that we have there is actually the best. So we can't do anything about it, and we shouldn't do anything. Once you're outside of that stability region, so somewhere in the ocean, you can actually, you're guaranteed that there is a better solution out there. And one of the behaviors that these types of problems have is actually the following. So once you drive, and there's a traffic jam, it will take you longer to use that road. So it will take you longer to complete that tour. But really, there's nothing you can do about it. So it has happened to me that there's a traffic jam, and I thought I was smart, and I tried to avoid it. And in the end, it actually took me longer with that detour than it would have taken me if I would have just waited. And that is exactly the case when the delay caused by that traffic jam is within the stability region of that solution. So what happens is the cost or the time it takes due to a traffic jam takes longer, but the tour or the plan you have is still the best. And at some very specific point, it tips over, and then there is a better solution. And all these points, they make up the boundaries or the frontiers of those islands I'm trying to look at, of those stability regions. All right, so here, again, we have that stability region that I showed you earlier. And we have here a not so nice version of the same problem. And again, here, the red tour is the best we can do. We then have here that red dot that indicates changes in travel time. And it starts out at 0, 0. So everything is as we thought it would be. And this is the red tour is the best tour. What it will then do is the red dot will wander along the island until it leaves the island. So the disturbances get greater and greater. What happens is I will increase the travel time of this road, and I will simultaneously decrease the travel time on this road. So what happens is we will see this wander, and by the time it reaches the boundary of the stability region, there will be a switch here, and there's going to be another solution that is better. At the same time, the thickness of the red line here actually indicates how much better this tour is than any of the other options we have. So maybe now you could play that video for me, please. All right, so now we see it. The red dot is wandering. This is the best tour we have. There's nothing better we can do, even though it takes us longer and longer. We're getting closer to the boundary. This red tour starts to become thinner and thinner, and it switches. And now we have another tour that is better. And as expected, actually, I've increased the travel time on this road, so we're not using it anymore. And I've decreased the travel time on this road, so now this actually becomes part of the best tour. All right. So now it's playing the video. We can play it. Can we? All right. So I've shown you until now what happens when you change two of the roads, but actually we can change all of them, of course. And this is what it looks like if you change the travel times on three roads. So you get something that kind of looks like a pyramid, right? So one of the questions I asked earlier was, is there something we can say about the nature of these islands or those stability regions? Well, it turns out that for an optimal solution, there's always exactly one stability region, so the island is unique, and they always have this type of pyramid shape. The pyramid might be different, but they always have the shape of a pyramid. One of the things that I really like about my research is that I started out with this travel problem when I started looking at my research, but then it actually turns out it's applicable to, well, all these other problems that have very similar properties, those production planning problems, our packing problem, or the runway scheduling problem, for example. And by using the methods that I kind of showed you now, what we can actually do is we can analyze solutions to those problems and see how robust they are or how efficient if things change. But the key thing I really want you to take away is the following. We can use math to look at real-world problems. We find their essence, and then we can analyze them, make statements about them, and find solutions to them that actually translate back into the real world. So what we can really do is we can use math to improve the way we interact with our real physical world. And that I find is really cool. And that's it. And I'm open to questions.